verse number 51. Everything about the kingdom of God is just so awesome. It's just awesome. Hallelujah. I love that song we sing, "When I Think About the Goodness of Jesus." Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. I mean, if you can't think about the goodness of Jesus, I need to introduce you to this man called Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, the goodness of Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb. John chapter number 6, verse number 51. Jesus said, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." And the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Amen. You may be seated again tonight. Got some more scriptures I'm going to read, but I'm not going to make you stand for the reading of the rest of these scriptures. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm sure that you've heard the terminology, "You are what you eat." Praise the Lord. So sometimes you're a honey bun. Sometimes you're a sweet tart. just you are what you eat. And I'm not going to go too far into that. Praise the Lord. But Jesus is giving forth something spiritual in the midst of carnal men. He's giving forth something that should have intrigued them to want to know more about what he was talking about. But instead, they immediately and automatically just began to reject what he was saying. And of course, that was done on purpose for the Jews because of the Jews' pride and their religiosity and all their preconceived ideas. If we could ever get preconceived ideas out of our minds, we could really live for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And so that they were suffering from their preconceived ideas and their rejection of Jesus. And now let me go on and read a little bit more here. "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Praise God. Hallelujah. The statement of assurance, the statement of faith, the statement of confidence, knowing thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Help them digest, if you will, this statement they did not understand. Help them have faith that he was going to bring understanding. They were not offended by it. They did not understand it. But they knew that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, so that whatever it meant, it was going to be good. Praise God. When I think of the goodness of Jesus. Hallelujah. And so we see here that he uses this analogy that he's the bread of life. The analogy that he's the nourishment for the spiritual man. That everything that he is and everything that he has done and everything that he's going to do at this point, though for us it's already been accomplished on the cross. He laid down his life. His body was broken. This is the bread. His blood was shed. This is the drink. The reality of what he was saying here to these disciples that day was foreshadowing what he was going to do. And it was the very thing they were going to need so they could have new life. Hallelujah. They could have a brand new living, Brother Joe, that they just sung about. Hallelujah. He was bringing that to their attention, bringing that to their knowledge. And those that had faith in him accepted it at face value. Can you accept what Jesus speaks to you even if you don't understand it? Hallelujah. I want to preach tonight, and I have preached this before. It's been quite a long time. But I want to preach tonight on a simulated truth. Pulled it out of the archives. A simulated truth. Now, Oswald Chambers made a statement, and this is where the beginnings of this message came from. He said, food is not health. Food must be eaten and assimilated for food to become health. You can stand and look at food all day long and you'll still be hungry. You'll grow weak. You'll grow weary. You don't believe me? Fast. Just start fasting a meal and you'll realize how much you really do like food. Does anybody ever notice that when you start fasting, you start thinking of all of the food you love the most? It gives you insight to how strong our flesh is. Because that's all that is. That's just our flesh wanting that. And that's what fasting's all about, is saying, sorry, you can't have it. Not today. Woo, praise God. Hallelujah. And then he went on to say, truth is not holiness. It must be eaten and assimilated. You can have all the truth of all the scripture, and it will do you no good until you become a doer of that truth. Until it becomes assimilated into your spiritual life.
Hallelujah. Just as natural food sustains our life, our physical life, it gives us the nutrients that our body needs, the strength that our body needs, the different things our body needs, just like water, the same way we've got to have food and water for this body to survive. We've got to have the truths of God with the Spirit of God to bring it alive in us for it to be the holiness God desires for our lives. Woo. Truth is not holiness. It must be eaten and assimilated to become holiness in our lives. Assimilate just means to change, in this sense, to change food into a form that can be taken up by and made part of the body tissues and absorbed into the body. It also means to absorb and incorporate into one's thinking. Now, we've already made mention, you are what you eat, and you are what you think. If you think too highly of yourselves, ye are prideful. Ooh, praise God. Hallelujah. So, we've got to take truth and let it be absorbed into our soul, into our spirit, into our mind, to become, to where it becomes the way we think, the way we operate, the way we are. Now, James chapter 1, verse number 19. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Wherefore, that means because of this wrath, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Could I read it back to you like this? Wherefore, quit being selfish and quit being self-willed and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. You do realize that all filthiness and evil and uncleanness comes from selfishness. Where it comes from. Me wanting my way, the way I want it, never giving in, never giving up, never quitting in the sense of doing wrong. I mean, you know, you can be stubborn in the unclean way. Or you can be stubborn in the righteous way. Amen. That's called steadfast. Hallelujah. But not according to self-will and self-desire. Receive, 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 receive. That means you have to take it, don't you? To receive something, you have to take it to yourself. Receive with meekness. What is meekness? I need this. I need God's word to help me with my wrath. What is wrath? Wrath is just frustration. We like to think of wrath as something that really is really, really bad, bad, bad. But it is, don't misunderstand me, but it's just no more than just getting mad over nothing. Or getting mad over something somebody else does that doesn't really make life simple for you. That's what it's talking about, wrath. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not. Did you ever realize that when you get mad, you can't do right? I'd like to meet the individual that when they get mad, they do right. I really would. Because the moment you got mad, you did wrong. Woo. And we all get mad, don't we? We all get irritated. We all get frustrated. It's part of the natural man. Did you catch that part? Hallelujah. It's not part of the spiritual man. It's part of the natural man. Those are aspects of the natural man. And that's why James is saying to the brethren, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Because when you get mad, there's no way you can do the righteousness of God. Wow. So we got to get rid of this self-will and this self-desire and lay a hold of the Word of God that is able to deliver or save my soul or set me free from that wrong behavior. Isn't it amazing what God's Word says, hallelujah, about what God wants to do in our lives when we learn to assimilate truth and not just say amen to it. Whoo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise be to our God. And so then he goes on. It says, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls or change you. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Now just picture yourself here. You're getting up in the morning. You're going to the mirror. It's time to get ready for work. It's time to get ready for the day. And you're looking at yourself in the mirror. You're beholding yourself in the mirror. Verse 24, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Whoa. You understand what that means? That means he looks at himself in the mirror and he thinks too highly of himself. And he goes his way in pride, forgetting he was saved by grace. He was saved by mercy. And his life will be wrong unless God continues to work in it. In other words, he looks in that mirror and he forgets what God has done for him. And he goes about thinking he has done it himself. Whoa. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. So what is that? He's looking in the mirror and he's looking into the liberty that Christ brought into his life. He's realizing the grace of God. He's realizing the mercy of God. He's realizing the forgiveness of God. He realizes what a wretch he has been and God has saved him anyway. And this can go for men or women, either one. And it brings a whole new perspective on how you're going to live that day. Of how you see yourself in that mirror. And what you're doing at that moment when you are reflecting of the great salvation and all the great things God has done for you, it's bringing forth mercy and grace in your heart, in your mind. Guess what you're going to go do that day? You're going to go do mercy. You're going to go do grace. You're going to go do love. You're going to go forgive. Wow. Why? Because you've come to the reality as you're looking into that mirror of what God has done for you and how He has forgiven you time and time again sometimes about the same thing. Whoa. But the only way you're going to overcome that is when you look in that mirror and you realize today's the day I'm not going to live that way. I'm not going to forget what I did yesterday. I'm not going to forget how I acted yesterday. I'm going to do something different today. I've just started living. Woo! Do you know you can wake up every morning and just start living again, praise God, in a brand new life in Jesus Christ? Or you can go back to the old man if you want to. You have that choice. But you see, when we want to simulate truth, we want it to become part of us. We want it to flow out of us. That takes great effort on our part. Hallelujah. God's supplying the grace. He's supplying the power. He's supplying the word. All we have to do is comply. Woo, hallelujah. All we have to do is comply. We just have to assimilate what He supplies. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. I mean, you know, if you're hungry, oh man, it's Thursday night. You probably didn't have time to eat and you're already getting hungry. Oh my, and you're thinking possibly about what you're going to eat. To have to go by the store. There ain't nothing at the house. And your mind, you're not going to have any problem eating after church, are you? Because you're hungry. But are you going to have a problem feasting on this message tonight? Are you hungry? Hallelujah. How hungry are you for the deliverance of your Savior? How hungry are you for the salvation of the Savior? How hungry are you for the power He's got for your life, the change He's got for your life? I mean, how hungry do we get for the righteousness of God? Because he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. Woo, praise be to our God. Hallelujah. Are you growing a little lean in kindness? That's because you feasted on too much of everything else and not enough on His Word. You'll find that most of the time our misbehavior comes from a lack of being in the Word. And looking in the mirror with the right attitude in the morning. And preparing our hearts and our minds for service to the King. Hallelujah. I realize a lot of times we drag out of bed. And we are barely moving. Ever been there, Timmy? Oh, we drag out of bed. We make it to the mirror and we don't even see what's in the mirror. Don't even brush our teeth. We just go on and to the refrigerator, and there's hardly nothing there. Some milk that's on the verge of sour, and we just chug her down, and we're moving on. No, I don't do that either. I have. I wouldn't know all this depiction if I hadn't. Praise God. Did I touch somebody's base there? Did we've all been there. Got up late. Anybody got up late? You know, in your normal routine, it's gone. It's gone. And, you know, usually when you get up late, you're awake. You know, but everything's up. You're just got to go. But to assimilate truth, you've got to have some. You've got to have some. I mean, I usually don't leave the house without something to eat. I mean, I just usually don't. If it's just a cup full of dry Cheerios, that's what I had this morning. Praise the Lord. I don't leave the house without something to eat. There you go. Because I know I'm going to need it. Oh, if we could only realize, I'm going to need it. I'm going to need it today. Hallelujah. If I'm going to live right, if I'm going to live holy, if I'm going to be slow to wrath and slow to anger, if I'm going to be slow to speak, I'm going to need something to assimilate into my spiritual life so that holiness prevails. I'm sorry, but holiness is not a title. Holiness is not the name of a church. Not the name of a movement. It is the depiction of my God. Hallelujah. And we are nowhere near holy as He is holy, but yet He asks us to be holy as He is holy. Hallelujah. And so that means we're always going to be coming up short of that holiness, but yet at the same time assimilating truth so we can have more of it. Praise our God. John 8:31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered Him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Yeah, they forgot a lot of things there. They did. I mean, they were reaching all the way back to Abraham's seed, and they just skipped Egypt, didn't they? And they just skipped the fact that Rome was in rule over them. they just skipped it all. Now, we ain't had nobody over us. Yeah. Whoa. Jesus answered them, verse 34, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Wow. What's your definition of sin? There's a good possibility everybody's got their own opinion and definition of sin. But really, it doesn't make any difference what my opinion is or what I think sin is. Because I have to go back to the Word to find out what it is. And the Word says, to know to do good and do it not is sin. Wow. I'm glad we reestablished that. Aren't you thankful for the Word of God? Praise the Lord. Now I am reminded of what sin is. To know to do good and do it not is sin. Hallelujah. Now be careful lest you do like the Pharisees. Well, who is it I'm supposed to do good to? You've missed the point. Praise God. You've done missed the point. If you know to do good and do it not, you have not done what you know you should do. Praise God. That's what God calls sin. So sin, you become the servant of sin. What is that? That is self-deception if I don't want to admit I'm doing wrong. If I'm not doing good, I'm doing wrong. Woo, I mean, that's deep. That's profound. But the reality, if we could only look at it like that when we're doing these behavioral problems we have. Oh, man, everybody's looking at me sober-faced. Behavioral problems? What are you talking about? I'm talking about when you get mad, irritated, your mouth begins to run, and you say things you shouldn't say, do things you shouldn't do, and wish you could, like, retrieve some of that and bring it back because you just realized, I'm an idiot. Maybe I'm the only one that's been there. Maybe I'm the only one that's been there. Whoa. Yeah. Ephesians 4:24, "And that ye put on the new man." Brother Joe just quoted that before he sang tonight, "which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Ah, so that means there's a fake holiness out there. How many like fake news? Jason preached a message on fake news here a while back. Fake news, that means they tell you all this stuff and it ain't really what's going on. Well, there's fake holiness out there too. The only reason I know there's fake holiness because the Bible says there's a true holiness. So if there's a true, then there's a false. And so I want to make sure that I'm finding true holiness. And true holiness only comes as I assimilate truth. And it becomes the way that I live, not the way that I preach. Did you catch that? Assimilated truth brings forth true holiness into the lives of believers. It is a process. It is a continual process. And you will continue this process until you pass from this world or the trumpet sounds. You will be continually striving for true holiness in your life. It is not something you attain. It is something you are. Ooh, praise God. Hallelujah. What is, that's putting on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Do you realize you don't have to put on the new man? It's your choice. You don't have to put on the new man. Well, now, let me give you the rest of the story. I mean, if you don't put on the new man, then you aren't ready to go if the rapture takes place. If you're not striving for the right, you're not
ready to go. You're not in a right relationship. You're not assimilating truth, and thus you are not going forward. If you're not going forward, oh, what's the opposite of forward? Backwards. Some folks might want to say, well, I'm just stationary. I'm not going forward. I'm not going backwards. Wrong. There's only two choices, forward or backward. There is no middle ground. Haven't found it in the Bible. The Bible never declares that you can get a place and you just sit there and nothing goes on. You're either going forward or you're backing up. And so forward's the direction we want. Hallelujah. And so that means I'm going to have to work on assimilating truth on the areas of my life that need changed. Did you know that you have areas in your life right now, this very minute, that need to be changed? Did you know that I have areas in my life right now I need to change? Aren't you thankful for grace? Because he says, I'm going to give you room to change. Ooh, praise God. Hallelujah. Romans 6:19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members as servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Wow. Just like you did it when you did it wrong, now let's do it right. Praise God. That's not just for sinners. That's for saints who are in the process of changing. Praise God. Hey, if you've went all your life with a bad attitude about something, now start giving it all you got to get a right attitude about something. Praise God. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The preacher's meddling tonight. Pastor's just doing what pastors do. Then they go home and cry because they're afraid they hurt someone's feelings. I'm sorry. I don't cry because I think I hurt your feelings. I cry because I know God's touching us. He's dealing with us. He's working with us. And notice I said us. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse 13. Wherefore? Aren't you, when you ought to preach just a message on wherefore. In other words, because of all this, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Oh man, did you catch that? God's word called us ignorant. But as he that which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Okay, hang on. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation. It's not just talking about your words. It's not just talking about your dress. That is talking about your attitude. Do you remember when James and John got very irritated? And I don't remember what the name of the city was, because they rejected Jesus. And they got very, I really believe, I picture in my mind, they were so irritated, frustrated, angry. And they even asked Jesus, you want us to call fire down on that city? Come on, let us do it! You remember what Jesus replied to them? You know not what spirit you're of. You don't realize what you're doing, boys.
you're acting like the devil.
Whoa.
Why do you say that, brother? Well, he said that to Peter. Do you not remember that when Peter started trying to tell him, no, Lord, you ain't going to the cross. No, they ain't going to take your life. I will fight with you. I will fight for you till I die. And he said, get thee behind me, Satan. So I said all that to let you know this. When you have a bad attitude about somebody, you're of the devil. Tight. Man, that's tight. That's tight. That's almost one of those, let's get behind the pulpit for a little while. That's tight. That's right. There is no reason on the face of the earth to have a bad attitude about anybody. None whatsoever. Yeah. Because Jesus said, love your enemies. Pray for those that despitefully use you. I remember what Sarah talked about complaining. And the Spirit of God said, have you prayed for them? Have you got compassion towards them? Are you wanting reconciliation or you want to destroy? We've been given the ministry of reconciliation, if you did not know that. And I realize that most of that is from bringing sinners to God and reconciling them unto God. But do you realize that anybody that's done wrong needs reconciled, not destroyed? Ooh. So, holy in all manner of conversation. Holy in the way you think. Holy in the attitudes you carry. Holy in the way you dress. Holy in the way you talk. Holy in the way you think. Holy in the way you treat other people. All manner of conversation. It starts at home. It starts at home. I don't have time here tonight. I could give you scripture after scripture. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. Husbands, treat your wives right. Wives, treat your husbands right. Fathers, treat your children right. Pay attention to them. Don't provoke them to wrath. Don't make here. No. Sometimes children act out because they don't get in attention any other way. I'm not a doctor. I don't have a doctor's degree. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm a pastor. Which means I cover all that territory. I just don't have the education from all the universities, but I know enough about God's Word, of what it talks about in relationship with husbands and wives, and what it talks about relationships of children and parents. And parents, you are the responsible one to teach your children how they should act and give them the attention they need. And I'm going to throw this out here and I'm going to upset apple carts probably all across the United States of America. But it's God first, your family second, and the church third. The ministry third. There's too many out there. It's God first in the ministry and the family just has to suffer. And I'm sorry, that's exactly what they do. If I can't save my own household, I can't really do much folks any good. Amen. It's God first, your family second, your ministry third. When you put it in that order, God will bless. Hallelujah to the Lord. What is that? Holiness in all manner of conversation. Hallelujah. Give those children the attention they need. Praise God. Because if you don't, you will regret it later. You will. They're going to only be children for a short time. Then they're going to become adults. Amen. Woo. So do it while they're young.
train them up in the way they should go. And when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Praise our God. Have it holiness in all manner of conversation. Hallelujah. I know this is tight. I know that it's right. I do know that it's right. I'm just reading it right out of God's Word, and I'm sharing other scriptures that go with it. The reality that God desires us to be holy, and He has supplied everything we need for that transaction to happen. All we have to do is start assimilating His truths in whatever area He reveals to us. That's the glorious thing about preaching. That's the glorious thing about teaching. That's the glorious thing about being in the house of God and the songs of Zion that declare God's holiness and God's Word. And so the Spirit of God can speak expressly to us. That's what the gift of the Holy Ghost, the gift of tongues, the interpretation, prophecy, that's what those gifts are for the edifying of the church. What is the edifying of the church? The assimilating of truth so that we can be holy as He's holy. Letting Him have His way with us. Praise God. I don't know, it seems like in these last days we have veered so far away from the simplicity of living for Jesus. Just living for Jesus. Praise God. John 15:26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. What's He going to do? He's going to talk to us about Jesus, the Son of God, the Christ, the Savior of the world, and what He wants in our lives. Praise God. Being led by Christ, being led by the Spirit, because it's the Spirit that's going to testify of Jesus Christ. John 16:13. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore I said I, that He shall take of Mine, and shall show it unto you. What's he going to show you? What's He going to show us? He's going to show us Himself. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. This is Jesus. It's His Word. It's His way. It's His life. In Him, He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. Hallelujah. What is life? Life is that true holiness of God, that love of God. God is love. God is holy. God is righteous. Let's not take it apart. Let's keep Him together. Hallelujah. Because you can't have one without the other. Praise God. It's all God. Hallelujah. And there's just portions of the Scripture that reveal His love. There's portions that reveal His holiness. There's portions that reveal His righteousness. And it's all for you and I to assimilate. Hallelujah. And let it become part of our lives. Okay, hang on, and I'm going to close. If you're always critical, you're rejecting truth. If you always want to criticize someone else, that means you're rejecting truth in your life. These are just things I have learned along life's way. I've been very critical at point in times in my life and in my ministry. Very hard on people. And there's no need for it at all. Because we're all saved by grace, and we're all growing. We're all changing. We're all assimilating. Praise God. So I have no room, I have no place, no right to criticize someone else for their behavior. But I find myself doing it from time to time.
Why did they do that? These are just words out of my mouth this week. And then the next words are, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. They did that because they're not assimilating your truth. They hear it. They know it's right. But they're not assimilating it. They're not putting it into action into their lives. God, pour out your Holy Ghost. Pour out your Spirit. Open their blinded eyes, oh God, that they can see what they're doing. Is that not what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. He didn't criticize them for their behavior. He realized they don't know. They didn't know what he knew. The other ones didn't know what the one thief on the cross came to the knowledge of. That one centurion said, truly, this was the Son of God. Wow. You will find you're going to win more folks with kindness than you are with criticalness. Hallelujah. Give people room. Let them grow. If they're not growing, pray that God will open their blinded eyes so they can grow. Praise God. Hallelujah. Pray one for another. Oh, I love that devotion. That was awesome. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to assimilate that. Hallelujah. That was truth coming our way. I want to assimilate that truth. That means I've got to put it in action, and I've got to do it on purpose. Every one of us sometimes accidentally do something. Some folks are mean on purpose. Yeah. So that's got to change. Praise God. Hallelujah. I've got to close. But there's one more thing I want to deal with. And that's that proverbial old saying, that's just the way I am. I have found myself saying that. And then I realize, ooh, is that really how I am? Then I need to change. I need to assimilate a little bit of God's truth and allow the Holy Ghost to really work in me in that area. Hallelujah. You know, James, oh, I'm trying to close. James said we put bits in the horse's mouth. It's about time you learn how to bridle that tongue. And use it for the glory of God instead of the railing of people. Praise God, we're going to grow in leaps and bounds here tonight. Hallelujah. I mean, we're going from kindergarten all the way to the sixth grade. Woo! Just in one sermon. Praise God. Now, I got to ask this question before I close, and I am closing. Someone can come to the piano. Have I shared anything with you tonight that you haven't heard before? I haven't, have I? Some of the younger ones may have not heard all this. And maybe if you've not been in church very long in your life, you've not heard any of this. But anyone that's been part of Calvary Lighthouse Church for any length of time, you've heard every bit of this. Probably not just once. I know you've heard it twice now, because this is the second time I've preached this message. But how much of it did we assimilate? Do you realize that's why we have church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Thursday night, and revivals, and camp meetings? Because we as human beings are very slow to assimilate truth. It's just the way we are. I mean, if it's worldly or if it's a lie, we'll believe it all day long. But when it comes to truth, well, I just don't know if that's right or not. I've seen it so many times. I mean, you know, somebody comes along with a little bit of gospel. Whoa, wow, you got to be kidding me. They really did that. Whoa, wow, oh my. You don't have a clue. You just heard one story. And we believe it hook, line, and sinker. But the truth comes on. Oh, well, I don't know about that. My pastor didn't preach it that way. No. The whole time, convictions all over your soul, but no. I just don't believe it that way. I had a dollar for everybody that said that, and they knew better. It's not a matter of whether you believe it that way or not. Is it God's Word? And if it's God's Word, then you need to change the way you believe. Praise our God. Hallelujah. I know this is not going to get me any pins. It's not going to get me any medals. It's not going to get me a lot of promotions in the political realm. But I know I've shared my heart. And I know I've shared truth. Stand with me if you would. Tonight. We are living in perilous times. We are under the attack of the enemy. We are. But the only way he is going to be defeated is if I refresh my assimilating of truth. And I get more of the Spirit of God working in my life than my self-will. Hallelujah. I get back to surrendering to God's Word instead of doing what I want. I do what's right. Praise our God. And it makes no difference who you are, how old you are, how long you've been saved, how little you've been saved. It all takes the same. It takes the choice to do what I know my God is speaking to my heart. Oh, choose. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's a choice. Hallelujah. To open up our hearts and our minds to God. One of the greatest hindrances to my salvation was my family traditions. But once I got past that and I got saved, it wasn't about family traditions. It was all about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. And His holy Word. Praise God. Could we lift our hands unto the Lord tonight? Father in heaven, Lord, I sense Your presence here. I sense the Spirit of God speaking to my heart. Lord God, touching Your people. Oh, God of heaven, You love us so much. So much. How much You love us. Hallelujah. Lord God, just continue the wonderful works in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to pay attention to our behavior, to pay attention to how we treat people, to pay attention how we treat everyone. Oh, God of heaven, help us this very night. Refresh us. Renew us. Revive us. Hallelujah. Let there be a fresh infilling of the love of God. Hallelujah. In our hearts, in our minds, in our souls. Oh, blessed be the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our mighty God, our holy God, our righteous God, our God of love. Hallelujah. Let's come around the altars or just find a place to pray here this evening as we close. Hallelujah. Oh, just allowing the Spirit of God to work in us, that love of an almighty God. Hallelujah. That true of the kingdom.